Yes, God bless you. Very good. Psalm 34, in the middle of your Bible this morning, the 34th chapter, the great big book of Psalms. And we're down in verses 17, 18, and 19 for our text. So find that if you would, please. And we're going to, in a moment, stand and read those three verses. If you'd join me on verse 18, and we'll take our text from this chapter. We won't preach the entire chapter. I'll give you the setting. But again, the Lord laid on my heart some weeks ago messages for us on the subject of the heart. And so we'll be on that subject today. Let's stand, please, together, verses 17, 18, and 19. Would you please join me again on verse 18? Psalm 34, 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Let's pray. Dear Father, would you please help me this morning? I want to be a blessing to the folks. Nothing I have to say that comes from me is worth anything, but everything that we have to say from this book that comes from your great voice, your great hand, is so helpful. It's eternal. It's blessed. So I pray that my mind might be centered on you and being what you want me to be in this hour, Lord, that you'll take the words and make them a blessing and a help to us. Bless our hearts. Encourage us. Speak to us this morning. We'll thank you for it. Bless the song we're about to hear and the message to follow, I ask in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you.
By day he shows me the way, hour by hour I'm kept in his power, minute by minute his love will shine. Oh, my Lord gives life divine, step by step he shows me his way, year by year he's with me still, moment by moment in his care. I know my Lord, he always is there. I can depend on Jesus, my Savior. I am kept in his love and favor every day and every hour. Oh, what a presence divine! With great peace I will abide. Moment in his care, I know my Lord is always there.
Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden by myself to bear, never a teardrop that may fall. My Lord and Master, all. Never a battle I alone must fight. In the darkness, he is my light. Moment by moment in his care, I know my Lord, he always is there.
I can depend on Jesus, my Savior. I am kept in his love and favor every day and every hour. Oh, what a presence divine! With great peace I will abide, hand in hand right by his side. Moment by moment in his care, I know my Lord is always there. Every day and every hour, oh, what a presence divine! By moment in his care, I know my Lord is always there.
He's always there.
blessing, isn't it? Great truth. Thank you, folks, for the good song this morning. I want you to see verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I'm talking about the heart now. And I want to speak this morning on the broken heart. Okay, we talked about the exposed heart 2 weeks ago. And last Sunday, the obedient heart. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the broken heart. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the great song. More than the great song, thank you for the great truth the song worded for us. Moment by moment, hour by hour, you're there. God, we find that same truth in this text. And I pray, God, that you'll help me to verbalize that even today. Please be in the message. May the Spirit of God have complete control. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Last May, my niece, Sarah, married a young man by the name of Zach Hess. Zach was called by God some time ago to the full-time ministry, and he is now a student at Grace, I don't know the exact name of it, over in Winona Lake, Indiana. It's Grace Theological Seminary or Grace College or something, but over in Winona Lake, and it is associated with the Grace Brethren churches, and that's where he went to church out in Ohio at a Grace Brethren church and was saved in the Grace Brethren church and now is going into the ministry. And they got married last summer. 3 weeks ago, tomorrow night, Zach was in the room with his wife Sarah, my niece, her brother Matt, my nephew, his mother-in-law Lisa, and her sister-in-law Cheryl, the RN, the nurse, and myself. As the doctor told us the awful news about my brother's brain cancer. Our worst fears were realized in that room. In that waiting area were family members sitting together waiting for one of us to come out and give the news, what the doctor had told us. I remember looking out the glass and seeing my dad. And I was asked to go with the RN Cheryl to give the news to those folks who were waiting out there, my dad and mom. And Lisa's parents and brothers and family members and friends and probably 20 plus, 25 people maybe, I don't know, waiting to hear. And so I had to give the news that had just been given to us. Tears, 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 tears. Now, sometime we had prayer and sometime later, after people were getting over the news and consoling each other and praying and going to see Lisa and the kids. And I was getting ready to go back to the motel room with my parents and my brother Tim. And Zach came to me and he hugged me and he said, "Uncle Terry," he said, "I want to thank you for being here." He said, I learned a lot tonight from watching you try to help people." I said to him, I said, "Zach, all the classroom instruction in the world will never prepare you for trying to be a help to people whose hearts are broken. You hear all the talk from the lectern, but until you go through it, in 4 years of Bible college, I heard it often." And, you know, I thank God for the bus ministry that I was involved in school, because the bus ministry did put me in some situations and gave me an opportunity to work with people whose hearts were broken. And that's why I think it's a great ministry. It helped keep your heart tender. But it was not until I went to Iowa and started learning under Brother Brown. In fact, I wasn't in Iowa 1 month, Brother Brian, until a two-year-old boy died. And Brother Brown was on vacation. He was not a member of the church, but it was a family whose kids came on the bus. And the little two-year-old boy got into some poison and died. Brother Brown was on vacation, and my first funeral was a two-year-old boy. Now, you have the comfort of knowing where the two-year-old boy went, but to help people say goodbye to a two-year-old. And I never will forget that. And boy, I mean, trying to help people whose hearts were grieving and whose hearts were broken. You know, seeing people I love whose hearts are broken is the least enjoyable thing for me about the ministry. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy seeing people who I love who have broken hearts. And over the years, many times, too many times, I've seen the broken heart. And in some ways experienced it. Now, David had a broken heart. In fact, he had a broken heart more than once, and he wrote this psalm as a result of an incident that took place when he was being chased by Saul. He was depressed. He was tired. He was living on pins and needles. He was on the run like a dog from King Saul and all of his enemies. And as a result of all of these things added together, his heart was broken. He was overwhelmed with trouble. And when he stops to reflect back on the situation, he takes up a pen, and the Holy Ghost gives him these words. Look at verse 17 where he said, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now, I want you to see what he said there. You can't. You read verse 17, you realize that this is not a promise that God will keep His children from trouble. Do you see that? Let's say that. It says that God will help deliver them out of it. A lot of times folks get saved, sometimes folks get saved and they have the idea, man, now I'm saved, now I'm a child of God, sins are forgiven, I belong to Jesus, and my God is my Heavenly Father, it's going to be a rosy road from here on out. There's no assurance of that in the Bible. Okay. So David didn't promise here that God would keep His children from trouble, from a broken heart, but He will deliver us out of it. Look at verse 19. He says here, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Again, the same type promise. Again, not that He'll keep us from affliction, but that He'll deliver us out of affliction. Then you get verse number 18. Sandwiched in the middle is that wonderful little phrase, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." What a precious verse. Now, you understand, people, once again this morning, we're not talking about the physical organ that we know is the heart that pumps the blood. We've talked about that all 3 weeks here. Now, thank God for the medical technology that He has allowed man to have and learn. And they can do so much now to help a broken heart physically. I mean, the heart transplants even and all that they can do, the valve replacements and all that. But this is not talking about that. We're not talking about a broken heart. Physical heart. We're talking about that part of a person known as the heart, where we think, where we feel, where we choose. We're talking about the core of a person, the seat of a person, the seat of their thoughts, the seat of their emotions, the seat of their decisions. And a person can have a broken heart, broken emotions, if you will. And that's what David is talking about in this passage. And I want to look this morning just for a few moments at this verse. I want you to see what David said about a broken heart. Because it's a blessing. Number one, I want you to see the first two words in the verse. Verse 18, "the Lord." Do you see that? The verse begins with "the Lord." And people, that is a good place to begin, because that's where all the things... Now listen to me carefully this morning. Don't not misunderstand or mishear what I'm saying. That's where all the things that cause a broken heart get approved. I did not say that God caused the things that break our hearts. God did not cause cancer. Cancer is the result of man's sin. I'm not talking about an individual. I'm talking about man's sin nature, the sin nature that that took place with the fall of creation when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. I did not say God caused the things that break hearts, but God does allow the things that break our hearts. You must understand that. Let me show you something. Hold your finger here in Psalm 34 and look at Job chapter 1. And I know maybe what you're thinking. Oh, I know what you're going to say. I may not say what you think I'm going to say from Job chapter 1 this morning. I want you to look at verse number 13, and unfortunately we don't have time to develop the story of Job because that's not really the subject of the message, but I do want to take one thing from it and make the application to verse number 18 in the book of Psalms, chapter 34. I want you to look at verse number 13. Watch what the Bible says here. And there was a day when his, that's Job's, sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. So there was a day. Now let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question. Verse 13 says, there was a day. Where was this day that verse 13 is talking about? Where did this day take place? It took place on earth. It took place at Job's house and places around Job's house. So there was a day on earth when messengers started making their way to Job's house to tell him that everything that he had and everything he loved, his 10 children, gone. So this day takes place on earth, right? Okay. Let's back up to verse number 6. Same chapter, verse number 6. Same words almost. Now there was a day. And if you continue on reading through verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth, you'll find out that this day in verse number 6 doesn't take place on earth. This day takes place in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Which one came first? Well, verse 6 comes before verse 13, right? So the day in verse 6 that took place in heaven came before verse 13, the day that took place on earth. Now, the day that took place on earth was the day that Job's world fell apart. Right? But that day had already passed the approval of God in heaven. And that's what we have to understand when we are dealing with a broken heart. God does not cause the things that break our hearts, but He does allow those things to happen. And we need to remember when our hearts are broken because of some horrible or tragic or awful event on earth, that it was previously approved in heaven. And you and I, folks, listen please, with finite, simple, mortal minds cannot know all that God intends when He approves something that we find very unpleasant. Is that right? That's right. By the way, back in Psalm 34, verse number 18, look at that again. The Lord, His name here is all capital letters. Do you see that? If you were in Sunday school this morning, maybe your teacher talked about it in my class. That's the name Jehovah. That's the name that tells us our God is unchanging. It's called immutability. It's His sameness. He never changes. Now, you know what that tells me, folks? When I read my Bible, I'm talking about Old Testament Bible, okay? And all New Testament Bible. God has been allowing difficulty and tragedy and trouble to come to His people's lives for all of time, and it will come to you. And the news came about my brother's tumor. He's 48. And he found that out on a Thursday, and they were going to put him in the hospital on the following, I think, Monday. But his brain swelled so, the tumor was growing so fast. The brain swelled so fast, it shut him down. Ended up in the emergency room in a horrible night. And I called my folks. Of course, my heart's been with Lisa and the kids. But my heart has also been with my dad and my mom. It's not a natural thing for parents to go through that with their children. So I called my folks and I said, they were weeping. And they wanted to be there. I said, look, I want you to get a Bible. I want you to sit down on the couch. Let me talk to you for a moment. So they did. And I said, I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. And Mom said right away, oh, I know, Terry, I know. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said, no, that's what I want to show you, Mom. And I showed him what I just showed you. And I said, listen, we've got to understand that through this, you've got to understand that God's fully aware of what's going on. And it passed His approval. He's a good God and a wise God and a right God. And that became a real source of encouragement to my dad and my mom. It's been a source of encouragement to me. I hope it'll be a source of encouragement to you. The Lord. Now, I planned this message, Barb. I didn't know that your dad would die just a few days ahead of time. You have a broken heart this morning. I didn't know Phyllis Collins would be on the door of death. Bill and Phyllis celebrated 35 years of marriage this past Friday, April 1st. It's been no April Fool's joke, has it, Bill? Bill had two wives that died previously, and Phyllis had a husband that died previously, and they got married, and God gave them 35 wonderful years together. Those things that break our hearts, that are very real to us right here on earth, folks, God didn't wake up and go into a panic one day and say, oh, good night, Gabriel, what has happened? No. There was a day in heaven before the day ever took place on earth. Okay? Now, number two, let me show you in the same verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them. Who is the them? Who's the them? That's all His people who experience a broken heart. Now, particularly here, David is speaking of himself. And I want you to know that David was anointed to be the next king. David had killed Goliath. David was the hope of all Israel. David was the object of their songs. He was the adored young man of all of Israel. But listen, with all of those positive things about David, it still didn't prevent him from having a broken heart. You see, broken hearts come to all people. Them. How many different people are found in the word them in 20 plus years here in Bourbonnais and in 10 years in Iowa? I have seen the thems. Some of the thems are sitting in the pews in front of me this morning. Sometimes we all know about people's broken hearts. And sometimes people sit here with a broken heart that very few, if anybody, knows about. Here. As a pastor, a lot of times I'm the last person to find out some things. Usually it's when it's involving teenagers. You're the last to find out. But when folks get older and up in years, sometimes I'm the first to find out. And I know we have folks who have a broken heart this morning. Nobody knows. Them. What causes these thems to have a broken heart? Well, the causes are many and varied. Some are of a similar nature. Others of a distinct nature. Death and sickness and loneliness and separation and disappointment and bad news that comes suddenly like a blow on an anvil, and bad news that comes almost expectantly like watching a river rise to overflowing until it finally exceeds flood level and then pours over your heart. Them is people of all ages, from all walks of life, all people. Who has not been the bearer of a broken heart in this room? I would say 95% of us at some time or the other have been the bearer of a broken heart. In that small little consultation room when that doctor delivered his news in the most professional, kind, and considerate manner that I've ever witnessed. Well, only on one other occasion, I guess, one or two other occasions from a doctor. And I am not an anti-doctor person. I think, you know, yeah, there's some good ways to try to treat things that aren't necessarily approved by the medical world. But friend, even Jesus himself said, they that are sick need a physician. There's a lot of good doctors. You say, I know some bad ones. Yeah, I know some bad plumbers too. And that doctor delivered that news, and then he stepped out. There was nothing more that he could say. And I watched my sister-in-law shake like a leaf while he was telling them what was going on. And then he stepped out. The reaction, the response of that news was devastation. It was agony of heart. Wife and children weeping. And I tried to console them. My mind was on them. My heart was with them. I had to actually, Lisa, take a deep, make your breaths very deep. Hyperventilate. Take a long breath. Hug my nephew. Let him cry on my shoulder. Then to go out and tell a group that includes your dad and mom, when I sit there and tell that group and right across that coffee table, watch my mother twist and turn with her hand over her face. When I finished my speech or whatever I was going to say, I just stood up and went to hug her and I just said, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. All that was going on, I had no time to think. Excuse me, I had no time to think about me. But when I got back to the motel room, I thought about my little brother. Stage 4 cancer in his brain. No time, and let that sink in. Sitting in that chair, it was my turn to weep and to cry and to have a broken heart. I'm not asking for your sympathy this morning. I'm just saying, all it comes to all of us. If it hasn't come to you yet, it will. Some way or the other. And then, lest you think you're the only one, the stories begin to pour in. My wife is at the dentist getting her teeth cleaned the Monday after all this went down. And Maggie Scoffsma, y'all know the Scoffs, some of y'all know the Scoffsmas. Marty gave all the sod for our grass years ago. Maggie was telling my wife, Joyce was telling Maggie about Tom, and then Maggie said, in our area, that where we live out here by Witcher, she said, there's a family 10 years ago, the dad was in a vehicle, and a tree fell on the vehicle and killed him. They have 2 small children. They just diagnosed the mom with cancer all over her body. And there's 2 kids, young teenagers, whose dad is already dead and buried, and now their mother has very little time to live. It's called broken heart. I taught a boy this year. He's a freshman up at Providence. I taught him last semester, and I teach him again this semester. I learned a little bit about him. He's a good kid. He smiles. Kind of a tall boy. He's a good basketball player. Quiet. I won't tell you his name. He comes from out east. About 2 years ago, he lost his dad and his mother in less than a year's time. Both of them died of cancer. So I'm teaching in church ed on how to conduct a funeral. And I see that boy most of the lecture with his head down. He's not sleeping. He's weeping. What is he, 18? 19? His heart is broken. We could stop this morning and we could go in this
We can go around this auditorium. We can talk about broken heart after 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 broken heart. All over this room. Them. So you see the Lord, and then you see them, but here is the encouraging part of this. You see that middle part of that phrase. The Lord is nigh unto them. That word nigh means exactly what you think it means. It means if you're nigh something, you're near it. You're next to, you're close. Watch, listen, broken hearts, most often broken hearts. What do broken hearts most often think? You know what broken hearts most often think? That they think that God is far away. Because the thing that comes out of our mouth is, oh God, where are you? It's like, why are you so far away? Why have you removed yourself so far from this situation? Where are you? If you were here, this would never have taken place. Isn't that what Mary said to Jesus? Oh God, where are you? Can I answer that question? If you've got a broken heart, He is the closest to you that He has ever been. He is near you. He is next to you. The Bible says when our hearts are broken, He is nigh to them that have a broken heart. He's there. God is close by. And you can find Him in the hugs and the comfort of a relative. You can find Him in the consolation of a friend. You can find Him in the prayer of a pastor. You can find Him in the words and the melody and the harmony and the rhythm of a song. You can find Him in a passage in your Bible. You can find Him in the touch on your shoulder. You can find Him in the voice that's from a long-distance phone call. He will be there. He is there. Our Bible says He is nigh. So when everything in your flesh wants to tell you that He's far, far away, you remember that your Bible says, no. He's right there. Man, I got blessed by that this week. You're close. You're nigh. You're near. Help me to see You in this. Oh God, don't let the sorrow and the bereavement and the grief of this tragic event, this news, this awful happening, don't let it obscure, please, my eyes of faith from seeing You, because You said You would be real close when my heart's broken. And by the way, God doesn't need a song. And He doesn't need a long-distance phone call. And He doesn't need the voice of a pastor. And He doesn't need anything to be there. He's just there. So instead of asking, oh God, where are You? Pray this, God, I know You're near. Help me to sense You. Help me to see You. Now, let me say this in closing this morning, friend. He's there to comfort you like nobody can. You know what our Bible says about God in 2 Corinthians 1? He is the God all comfort. So it may not be cancer. It may not be death. It may be something else we haven't talked about this morning. He's the God of all comfort. So that means whatever your heart is broken over, He's there. But I want to tell you this, we're done. Not only will God be close to comfort us, but God will be close, listen carefully, to help meet some spiritual need that we have. I want you to look at the end of the verse. Look at it. The Bible says, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The word contrite means to break or bruise, to be worn. Now, I'm going to finish. You listen very carefully what I'm about to say. The truth is, when everything is going good for us, when we have no problems and we have no burdens, you know what can happen to our spirit? Our spirit can get a little bit haughty. Our spirit, we can get a little bit confident, self-confident. Do you know that's a dangerous thing? You know what the Bible says about a haughty spirit? A haughty spirit goes before a fall. So you and I don't need a haughty spirit, because a haughty spirit prevents us from getting God's help. It prevents us from God ministering to us. It prevents us from God working in our life. God's not going to work in my life when I have a haughty spirit. But folks, when our hearts are broken, you see, the word contrite means to break or to bruise or to be worn. And that's what a broken heart does to our spirit. It beats up our spirit. It bruises our spirit. It wears down our spirit. A broken heart wears on our spirit. But that's not all bad. That's good, because when you and I have a humbled spirit, then God can work on us. When our hearts are broken, it wears on or bruises our spirit. When we are contrite, our God can help us. In fact, God will help us. And the truth of the matter is, now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, that through tragedy in people's lives, God has done some very, very wonderful things. I remember in the old building, in the old office, getting the phone call. Don Gilbert's dad has had a heart attack, and he's lying in the bed at St. Mary's. Don Gilbert Sr. had had a spirit that had resisted the gospel. Resisted the gospel. But when I walked in that hospital room, that whatever time of day it was, I think it was afternoon, when I walked in that hospital that afternoon, I found a man whose spirit was contrite. And a man who eagerly listened to all the verses that deal with the plan of salvation, and who eagerly, with tears, trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He reached out to take my hand, that he had trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Got saved, and God raised him up off of that bed. For those of you who were here back then, he became a very happy, joyful Christian who witnessed to many members of his family. Now watch me. God didn't cause the heart attack. But before that day ever took place on planet Earth, it got God's approval in heaven. And that heart attack was used to break his heart, not his heart, his organ, but his spirit. What had been very resistant to the gospel, that was welcome. I know there are deathbed conversions. I know that. This one wasn't. And so I'm saying to you this morning, and I'm talking to more people than just myself today, I appreciate all the prayers. I appreciate people are afraid that we ask too much. You ask as much as you want to. My brothers and I are very close. It's strange to me that we got together at Christmas for the first time in years. It's strange to me that my uncle down in Atlanta insisted on driving up to South Carolina to see my brother. He had seen me. He had seen my brother Tim, but he had not seen Tom. And he insisted to drive up and see. Oh, it's strange to me. You say, are you pessimistic? No. I know God can do great things. But I'm realistic. So I want to say, to say to me this morning. I want to say to all of you who are sitting out there with a broken heart, and to all of you who will be a them someday, that God is very close. And He wants to do something really wonderful in our lives. The best thing you and I can do is just let Him do it. Broken heart is no fun. One of these days, it'll all come clear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all that it teaches us. Thank You for loving us so much. We can't fully grasp or comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of Your love. But it's so real. Speak to Your people this morning, oh God, I pray. Encourage them, bless them, help them. Thank You, God, for coming and being in this service from the very beginning. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. Now, please, do a good work in our hearts is my prayer. In Jesus' name.